Amen. Well, good morning, Fellowship Greenville. It's good to see you guys here in Odd 2 and Odd 1. Jim always says it. I don't know how he sees you, but apparently you're looking great today as well. You may be wondering, what's this guy doing here? We'll get to that in a second. But I do want to let you know that we are in a series. Normally during the summers, we take some time and do a more topical series. If you come to us during what I always call the school year, because I'm in student ministry, we're typically going book by book and verse by verse through books of the Bible. But here in the summer, we're in a series, a more topical series called Church Matters. And so we'll get to that in just a few moments. My name is Dallas Greenaway. Yes, like the city. And yes, the color green, and then away, okay? There's an A in there somewhere that people often forget. And I'm our student ministry pastor, and so it's a pleasure to be with you guys this morning. This is why they've brought a shorter table for me than what Charlie or Jim normally has, and Jason for that matter, and why I've got a random box that you're probably already wondering, what's in the box, right? That would be a great question this morning. Before we dive in, I do want to introduce myself a little bit more. Johnny kind of gave me an idea a few weeks ago. Johnny was the tall, slender one that was just playing guitar with us this morning and leading us in worship. And he introduced himself before he taught by showing some pictures going back to his childhood, even the nursery. He showed us a baby picture. And one of the pictures he showed was one when he was in high school. It's this picture right here, which that's not actually Johnny, if you were wondering, okay? Some people, maybe you've been thinking, should I email and ask? Is that really him? But this is what I would consider a doppelganger. Are any of you familiar with the term doppelganger? Anybody? Show of hands? Okay, yes, good. First service was pretty aware. A doppelganger is basically, I looked up the definition so I could give you the proper words here, but it's basically an unrelated lookalike or twin, okay? So Johnny and this giraffe animated figure are not actually related by blood, contrary to popular belief, okay? But it's kind of one of his animated twins, one of his animated lookalikes, and so I thought it might be fun for me to bring some of my own doppelgangers. So the first picture I brought, this is me and my friend Frodo Baggins. So Frodo would be the one, I guess, on your left. And then Samwise Gamgee is the one that I've gotten that I look like. Maybe it has to do with my red hair. I consider myself strawberry blonde, but I guess I'm like half red hair in there. That's the strawberry side of things. And yeah, we've had great adventures together, me and Frodo. If you don't know, these are hobbits from the Lord of the Rings series, and they're typically folk who are around like 3 feet tall. I'm not quite there, okay? I made it a little bit further. No offense if you are there. And they also have big, hairy feet, which I have pretty small feet, and my hair is blonde, so you can't really see it on my feet. But anyway, these are a kindred spirit for sure. A doppelganger would be Samwise Gamgee right there. Another one, an animated one for me. This has been brought up a few times in my life, and a new person here on staff. Shout out to you, Makara. She reminded me that I do kind of look like Chicken Little. So I don't know if it's like the hair, the glasses. I don't feel like I really like stand like this or whatever he's doing. But I do, a lot of times I'll have my hands behind my back. I've figured this out because my boys now do it. I have a 3 and a 5-year-old and they do it all the time. So yes, I've got the faux hawk going on a little bit, but that's Chicken Little. And then this last one, this is who my wife tells me I look the most alike. And that's my doppelganger. And if you think that there's no resemblance, how dare you? I think I mentioned this last year when I taught that, you know, eventually I'll have this 6'6" resurrected body, and this might be not far off from what that's going to look like, okay? Little, that's Aquaman, also known as Jason Momoa there, and he's a good-looking guy. So thank you to my wife, Brittany, for the encouragement there. We are in this series, though, called Church Matters, and in a second, we're going to read a kind of a longer summary. If you haven't been with us or just need this reminder, it'll kind of clue you in on where we're going in this series. But it's basically a two-fold deal where we're kind of talking about, hey, the church matters. Even in a 2023, in the current American culture that we live in, the climate that we're a part of, the church matters, and it matters to God. It mattered very much to Jesus as he was kind of bringing about the beginning of the church and saying things to folks like Peter, like, hey, the gates of hell will not prevail over this thing. They will not stop what the Lord wants to do through his people and through the church. And so it talks about, we've been talking about for the last several weeks, hey, the church does matter, but then we've also been talking about the matters of the church. So the things we do in the church and why we do them. And we're going to continue with that this morning. So here's the longer series summary, if you will. You can read it with me on the screen. It says, the church of Jesus Christ isn't going anywhere. She has outlasted religions, empires, and nations. She has experienced persecution, political oppression, and even martyrdom. She has lived in hypocrisy, idolatry, and even committed great acts of violence, but still she remains. Because of these things, the question should loom large: what does it truly mean to be the church? What should faithfulness to our risen Lord look like? Jesus promised, "I will build my church." So what does that entail? Why does the church matter so much as his people, his bride, his family, his body? How are we to carry ourselves in the world while embracing his love and extending it to those around us? Yes, the church matters, but what does that really mean? And so as we've been in this series over the last several weeks, I hope that you have had some time to contemplate why does the church matter, and why does it matter for you and for your family? Maybe during this series, you've come to have a new sense of gratitude, gratefulness for the church. I know that one of the things for me that's happened as we've gone week by week is that I think that for a long time, I've taken the church for granted. I've been here at Fellowship, at this church, since I was in the sixth grade, which is over 20 years ago now, is when my family first started coming. And so this day in, day out, weekly routine and rhythm of church, I think I lost some of the gratefulness, and I took it for granted. And so this series in particular has spawned some gratefulness in my heart, and I've just turned to the Lord and extended that gratefulness, because he really has done something incredible here at Fellowship. And we are not perfect by any means, but there's a lot of things about this church that are really healthy and I think bring a lot of glory to the Lord, and it's fun to be a part of that. And so if you haven't had any chance, maybe you might think about some of those things today. Today we are going to talk specifically, though, about serving within the church, within the local body. And so I'll give you a second to turn to Acts chapter 6. And that's where we're going to speak from, look at, and I will finally, as you're turning there or scrolling there, show you what is in this box, okay? And remember, okay, I'm in student ministry. I spend the most of my time with middle schoolers, okay? And so it may be no surprise to some of you that I would pull out a Lego Star Wars helmet, all right? Now, do we have any Star Wars fans here this morning? Yes, a few of you, okay? I won't ask how many of you might be protesting Star Wars for any reason, but Star Wars is pretty great. How many of you are Star Trek fans? Anybody Star Trek fan? How about we all turn to our neighbors and see if we can do this thing, okay? This is like Star Trek sign of sorts. My mom would probably tell you, hey, some of your first words, some of Dallas's first words as a baby were space, the final frontier. So I don't know if that means I was some sort of prodigy or whatever, but that's a phrase that you Trekkie fans know. Some of you, you're like, Star Trek means nothing to me. Star Wars means nothing to me. What am I doing here? So let's explain why I've got this little Lego helmet, which I'll turn for you. This is actually Luke Skywalker. Whether you're familiar with Star Wars or not, you've probably heard that name. This is his red five. Helmet, okay, an iconic helmet in the Star Wars universe. And so I have a 3 and a 5-year-old boy. I actually have a picture of them. We got two boys. That's Owen is the one actually with the Star Wars shirt. That was not planned, but that's how it happened. And then Samuel's there. He's got his Mario shirt on. And they're selling lemonade, young entrepreneurs, sort of. This was at my parents' garage sale just yesterday, actually. So it got really hot, and they went inside for basically half the yard sale. But they made like $15. That's pretty good, right? So then the lemonade was actually pretty good. So my boys are very into Star Wars and very into Legos, and it's like awakened in me this childlike nature to play with Legos. And so we've had a lot of fun. And admittedly, though, I have not bought Legos for myself in a very long time. Okay, no judgment if you have. I'm just telling you my story, my experience. But my in-laws bought this for me it was like my birthday or for Christmas or something. And these are, to be fair, this is an adult Lego set. Okay, if you're wondering, why does he play with children's toys? I have kids, but this is an adult Lego set, okay? And as soon as I got the gift, it was a little surprising. I wasn't unhappy that I got it, but I wasn't ecstatic because it was totally unexpected. And here comes this Luke Skywalker helmet. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, this is a pretty good gift. This could be a fun dad-only project, okay, because it's adult. It's adult Legos. And but time went on, and I put it in a room in our house, just the box, and the boys started to ask me. Months were going by, and they would always ask, Dad, when can we build that? Can we build that together? My 3-year-old asking, do you think that it'll fit on my head, right? Like these silly but very cute questions. And eventually, this became not just a dad project, but it became a project with my boys. Now, let me ask you, have you ever put together something like this, maybe a puzzle, an intense puzzle, be it, or a craft that's like, it's really particular, and or this Lego thing, you got to just put the stickers on, right? Has anybody ever done that with little kids? Anyone? Okay, so you know, it's terrible, right? we can admit that. It wasn't so bad, but it was rough at times. I mean, it sounds really cute. Let's put this thing together with Dad. And so we kind of split up the Legos and, oh, and my five-year-old, you're over this set. When I ask for a piece, if it's in your pile, you get to give it to me. And the same with Samuel, my three-year-old. And for a while, things went well. And then, I mean, you guys know how this ends. It's a three and a five-year-old boy and their brothers, okay? So eventually he's like, no, I want to give Dad that piece, or I want to put those pieces on her. Let me put that sticker on. I want to put that sticker on my face, right? Like, or they would get up and just walk away, just not because they're mad, but just because that they're three and five. And so they would leave the room completely, leave the house completely, go outside in the backyard. And then they'd come back and be frustrated that I kept working on this Lego set without them. I'm like, what do you want from me? But I mean, along the way, there were times when things did go smoothly, and there were times when things were really messy. And eventually, with some help from Mom, in the end, we did get this thing done. And I'm looking back on it, I'm really glad that this is something that me and my boys, hey, when they see this, they know that we built this together. And you may be wondering, what does that have anything to do with what we're talking about today? Here's the thing. I think that as silly as this is and as simple of an illustration as it is, I think this is actually somewhat what it looks like to be a part of building the church. I mean, if you think about it, we all bring something to the table. We bring some different strengths and weaknesses. Sometimes things go really smoothly, and sometimes things get pretty messy, if we're being honest. Sometimes it feels like, what are we even doing here? Like, maybe I want to get up and walk away and at least take a break, and hopefully you come back. But all along, we're building this thing together. God's invited us to be a part of building his church so that we might reflect him and the gospel to each other and to the world around us, that the kingdom might advance through us, through his church. So this morning, we're talking about serving specifically in the church. And maybe before we go any further, we ought to give a definition for service. This is one that if you've been around Fellowship Greenville for any length of time, you probably have heard us talk about serving like this before, that serving is giving yourself away with no expectation of return. The serving is giving yourself away with no expectation of return. This is something that it's not just some cute words, or somebody was in a dark room and shut off all the lights and, Lord, give me the definition. Ah, eureka. But this is something that we actually see in the life of Jesus, that over and over and over again, he was teaching and meeting physical needs, having compassion on folks, that everywhere he went, he was serving even to the point of death, and seemingly never expecting for payment or approval or position in the end. He was only doing the things that the Father invited him into and told him to do. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 describes Jesus this way. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus' entire life was one of service, again, even to the point of death on the cross, and it's his example that we're called to follow in. All right, last chance to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. As you do, I will preface with two things. The first is this, is that we are talking within this series on the church matters, specifically about the matters of the kind of the local church. And so while some of the things we talk about related to serving could certainly be extended to serving your neighbor or serving the city or serving the globe, we're going to kind of keep it in those boundaries of the local church body. The second thing this morning is that here's the deal. We've mentioned this over and over again in this series, and this message is no different. We have been blessed. God has been really, really kind and really good to us here at Fellowship Greenville. And so I don't feel the need, and nobody else does either, to get up here and preach a message on serving, because we need to beg and plead and guilt trip you to jump into serving. The reality is that here at Fellowship Greenville, we have hundreds of people, many of you who are in this room today and over in Auditorium 1, who you are giving your lives away with no expectation of return on a weekly basis, on a daily basis even. And for that, we are incredibly thankful. But maybe this message will help us expand our view of what serving looks like, what serving is. Maybe it'll help us see, the Lord might bring to mind, hey, some areas where, hey, there's actually a need in my community group. I have known that I'm supposed to be a part of helping and meeting, but I just haven't. But now the Lord's pushing me towards that thing, and it's undeniable. So we're gonna talk about serving, but know that this is a healthy place, and we have been really blessed with the people that the Lord has serving here. And then lastly, before we jump into this passage, here's a question that I want to encourage us to ask the Lord this morning. It's one that I kind of stole from Jim Thompson, okay? I was trying to get the wording like just so, and then I realized, oh, he had a question like this pop up about almost 10 years ago, so it's fair game to steal at this point. The question is this: would you ask, Lord, in for and through the church, what kind of service have you called me to? Or what kind of service, Jesus, have you called me to? And again, some of you are here and you're like, well, I already know, here's where I serve. But maybe the Lord wants to use something like this to affirm that. Maybe he wants to use it to expand your view of serving. Maybe he wants to make you aware of some places where you could still be serving. Maybe there's another group of people in the room who you've been kind of on the edge and you've been coming here for a little bit and been wanting to get plugged in and involved. Maybe this is kind of the final push of like, hey, here's your moment. Step into the things that the Lord is inviting you into. And maybe there's another group in here who you're kind of wondering, man, I'm not even real sure about the church. I'm not sure about Jesus. I'm not sure that there's a God or even a higher power at all. Well, maybe this is a chance for you to see, hey, this is what we believe is God's intention for his people in community together. Maybe that'll be some kind of encouragement to you. Acts chapter 6, here we go. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. It says, now in the days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Pumbaa, and Nicholas. See, I'm checking to see if you're listening kind of thing, right? I'm the middle school guy, okay? So I could do that. Timon and Pumbaa, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So, Charlie actually touched on this passage last week, if you were with us or if you listened to it later on, and he talked about how this is often the place where people go to say, hey, this is kind of the origins of the deacons. And so, we're going to look at the situation that brought about the origins of the deacons, or how it's often referred to. And really, what we have going on here in these few verses is we've got like a first century set of growing pains, okay? So, verse 1 mentions that the disciples were increasing in number. This was a time where it actually was kind of a transition piece. If you remember from Acts 1:8, there's this promise that the gospel and the church would expand from Jerusalem to Judea to all the ends of the earth. And that's what's happening here. The church is starting to grow. Thousands of people are coming to faith in Jesus. They're coming to see that Jesus is the Messiah that they've always needed. And they're putting their faith in him and they're becoming a part of this church. And so this movement is growing outside of Jerusalem now. And as things grow, more needs arise. And one of the needs here, it seems to be there's kind of maybe a conflict or maybe two groups who are at odds and maybe some favoritism being played between these two groups, the Hellenists and the Hebrews. And the Hellenists, they were a group of people who were culturally Greek, and so they may not have really been from Palestine or spent most of their upbringing there. They were culturally Greek. They spoke the Greek language, and then there were the Hebrews who were more culturally Jewish, and they would have been growing up around Palestine. They would have been Hebrew-speaking or Aramaic. And so you got these two groups of people who now, because of Jesus, because of, hey, we're a part of the church, we now are one, we're family. And some tension comes up. Some people are left out of the daily distribution of food, namely the Hellenist or culturally Greek widows. And this is maybe kind of a sidebar, but there's something to me about this, not that people are being left out of eating, but there's something to me about this that's kind of encouraging, that there was some messiness in the early church. I don't know if you've ever thought this way, maybe it's just me, but there's been times when I've thought and I've said aloud and I've talked to friends, and I think there's a good heart behind this, but I've said something like, man, I just wish that we could go back to the days of the early church. I just wish we could go back to the first century church and what we see in Acts and see the miracles that were being done and be a part of that huge movement and huge growth. And wasn't everything just the way it was supposed to be in the early church? And again, I get that. I get the heartbeat behind that. I think that there's a lot right in what we're saying. But I think that the more that you read through Acts, and the more that you read the letters that Paul and others wrote in the New Testament, the epistles, the more you see that there was a bunch of messy things going on in the early church too. And so, yes, we've got a ton of things that are messy in the church today. But I think that the Lord has been sweet and kind to me to say, hey, I understand what you're saying, but I put you in the church here in 2023 in Greenville, South Carolina. And there was messiness then, and there's messiness now. But maybe part of the reason I've put you there is to have you meet some of those needs and be a part of at least finding solutions for some of that mess. So that's helped me kind of reorient when I think about, man, I just wish I could go back. And maybe, you know, I think one day we're going to get to ask a whole lot of questions and maybe get kind of some firsthand insight into that, which will be really fun. But for now, I think the Lord's called us to keep our focus in the here and now and what he wants to do in 2023. So these two groups are at odds. We got to find a solution. These widows need to be getting their daily distribution. And so the disciples come together, verses 2-4, say, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this day, this duty, excuse me. Verse 4 says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, I think upon first glance at these three verses right here, there is this like, wait, are they saying that what they're doing is better than this need that needs to be filled? Like, are they competing with ministries and, well, mine is better. We need to preach and we need to pray, but find somebody else who's lowly that can take care of that lower task. It could seem at first glance like this is an arrogant or harsh thing. But that doesn't seem to be the heartbeat of the disciples here as they're trying to solve this this issue. In fact, the word for serve in verse 2, talking about the serving of the tables, and the word for ministry in verse 4, talking about the ministry of the word, these are actually from the same Greek word, diakonia. And that basically just means ministry or service. And that's where we get our English word for deacon. And so, no, it wasn't a competing of the ministries. Here's what was happening. Remember the context. The church is growing. And this is actually something that we have experienced here at Fellowship Greenville, especially over the last year. And that as things grow, more opportunities and more needs arise, and more people are needed to meet those needs. And so there's ministry of preaching the word and prayer, but there's also this ministry. It's not like putting one on a pedestal and putting one down at third place or lower. But there's a ministry of meeting people's needs when it comes to their daily food. And so I think the disciples are just wisely realizing, hey, there's a growing need for more preaching and more prayer and more training up of people who would do that. And we just don't have the time to do all the things that need to be done. So let's invite some other people to be a part of that too. And so they invite Timon and Pumbaa and all their friends, the 7 guys of good repute, full of the Spirit. So I think that that's what's happening. So in verses 5-6, or 5 and 6, we see that those 7 guys are brought up. And then in verse 7, here's how it ends, much like it started. Remember, it began with, hey, the church is growing and the church is increasing. And then this messiness arises. And then it ends in verse 7 the same way. Somehow, the meeting of this practical need, this act of service, appears to have further contributed to the advancement of the kingdom because there's an increase. There's multiplication. The church keeps growing, and even some of the leaders in Israel, some of the priests, start to turn and see that Jesus really is their Savior. That's incredible. That's incredible. And it leads us to our first of 3 points this morning. Serving the church is not about building your kingdom, but is about building God's kingdom. Serving the church is not about building your kingdom, but about building God's kingdom. Verses 1-7, like I just mentioned, do begin and end with the gospel spreading. After all, this is the call of the church to multiply, to go and make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, and to all the ends of the earth. That's us. We're the ends of the earth right there. This is exactly what is happening. Through the direct preaching of the word, yes, but it also seems like God is using the word lived out, even in something like a first century meal train. You know, guys know what I mean when I say a meal train. When somebody's pregnant lately, now there's this website called Meal Train where you can like fill in, hey, we need to meet this need and give food for them. That's almost like what we see in Acts 6, right? This meeting of the needs, this providing of food. And even through something like that, This meeting of a very practical need, the gospel is going forth. The kingdom is being advanced. It's all about his kingdom. The church does not exist to advance the kingdom of Dallas or of Jim Thompson or of Jason Malone or even Dr. Charles Franklin Boyd. The church does not exist to advance the kingdom of the biggest donors or the loudest voices in the room. She is not meant to be manipulated by anyone or any group of people for their own agenda. The Church of Jesus Christ is meant to serve God by reflecting the gospel to each other, to one another, and the world we live in. It's all about his kingdom. So every baby held in the nursery, every time the Bible is open for group study or teaching, every community group member prayed for, all of the serving going on in the various specific ministries of the church, each time your truck is borrowed to help a church family member move, and any other act of service is somehow contributing to the advancing of the kingdom and the building up of the church. And I don't know about you, but I think that's really beautiful and really encouraging because it all matters to God. It all matters within his kingdom. No matter how culture might look at your act of service, and if they say it's top tier or they say it's bottom tier, the Lord says that all these acts of service matter. They're all contributing to the building up of the kingdom. And yet, while it is true that, hey, it's about building his kingdom and not ours, part of building God's kingdom seems to be that he actually wants to build us up as we are giving ourselves away. That in giving yourself away with no expectation of return, it's actually one of the places you find more life than you could ever imagine. He builds us up as the church and as people together, as an entire family group, but he also builds us up as individuals. I mean, it's often in serving where we find exactly how we're wired and how we're gifted. It's where we find the things that we're truly passionate about. It's where we find joy. It's where we find a deeper connection with God. In my own life and in my own walk, it was in middle school that I started serving. I started serving with Vicky Hart, shout out to Vicky, in kids. And I would serve with like preschoolers and then eventually kindergartners and first graders. And that was one of the places that God used to mold and shape me and form me to help me see my gift and wiring for things like teaching and help me see that, yeah, you're meant to be with the next generation. You're meant to be pouring into them. And honestly, that's one of the places many years ago now that if God wasn't pulling me in and inviting me into that, I don't know exactly what I'd be doing. I definitely wouldn't be probably standing here before you. But somehow God used that to wire me, or rather to build me, to mold me, to shape me into the man that I am today. And I'm really, really thankful for that. Going back to my Lego helmet here for a second, I guess it's right there on the ground now. You know, I think that one of the biggest reasons that my boys wanted to do this project was because they got to do it with dad. Not that I think so highly of myself, but I think we all know that children are wired to want to spend time with their parents. Sometimes, like, annoyingly so, right? We get home and it's like, it's dad mode, it's full on dad mode, or you moms who stay home with them, it's mom mode all day, every day. And I think that that was one of the things, yeah, my three-year-old wanted to try the helmet on eventually, but sorry, bud, your head's a little too big now, even as a three-year-old. And I think they thought it was cool because it was Star Wars, but I think the biggest deal was that they got to do it with dad. That was like one of their biggest motivations. What's your motivation for serving? When it comes down to it, are you serving in hopes of getting some kind of recognition or approval? Are you looking to get plugged in somewhere so you can show off your gifts or finally show somebody, hey, this is how this act of service was meant to be done in the first place? Or are we recognizing that our Heavenly Father is inviting us to build something with him? And that's all the motivation that we need. Serving the church is not about building your kingdom, but about building God's kingdom. Point number two, serving the church is not just about a single day of the week, but a daily lifestyle. I don't know, maybe you kind of thought about this as soon as I said serving in the church or serving the local body and kind of put some parameters around it, put it in a box. But admittedly, when I do think of serving in the church, I think of, hey, the specific things that need to be done and people need to fill these roles on a Sunday morning. But the reality is that is not the extent of what it means to serve the church, to serve and love one another well, to give ourselves away to one another. In fact, within this passage, the dispute is not about, hey, this once a week distribution of food, but to use language in Acts, it says daily distribution. This is something that was done regularly throughout the week. It wasn't just, hey, when we get together, we're going to give you a Walmart bag and send you on your way. No, it was they were daily meeting the needs of these people. And so it is meant to be with us today, a couple thousand years later. There's around 50 verses in the New Testament that contain the words one another. Things like bear one another's burdens, love one another, be patient with one another, even to wash one another's feet, which just humor me here for a second. Turn to your neighbor and tell them I'm going to wash your feet. Now here's the other side. Turn to your other neighbor, your second choice, and tell them, but not yours, okay? But not yours. Now, admittedly, there's not the same cultural setting as was here in the first century where foot washing is not really a normal thing that we're going to do for one another. Neither is there a need for it as much as there was back then. But maybe in some situations, maybe you've washed somebody's feet before. It's mostly symbolic for us at this point, though, but meaning, hey, are we going to be willing to humble ourselves and lower ourselves just as Jesus did, give ourselves away, again, with no expectation of return, and serve people? No matter how low it makes us look, no matter what it does to our reputation, sometimes no matter how it makes us feel, because that's what we're called to, following in Jesus' footsteps. So as we consider where God has called us to serve, I'd love for us to be open to God, opening our eyes to the needs of the church and thinking not just about Sundays, but about every day of the week. Is there somebody that you're in connection with as a part of this church family who needs encouragement on a Tuesday even? Is there somebody who does need to borrow your truck to move? And listen, I have had a truck in the past. I kind of want one again, but then I think about all the people who asked me to move, which I'm very thankful that you did that. It was a lot of fun, but I'm in a season where I can't apparently now because I don't have a truck anymore, so don't call me. But maybe there's somebody who needs that, or maybe there's just somebody who needs prayer. I know for me today, I was greatly encouraged. This is not something that we have a sign-up list to do. Hey, when you sign up for this, and you're gonna text this person a certain verse of the Bible or a certain encouragement. But this morning, there were people who were texting me right as I was going through kind of the first run-through of this message, and I can't tell you how encouraging it was to know that the church body was praying for me. That's an act of service, and that's not just restricted within the couple hours that we're here together on a Sunday morning. We often talk around here about seeing life through gospel or kingdom lenses. And I think that service is one of the things where when we put these bad boys on, I almost did like a VR headset thing, but I thought I would lose some of you guys. But when we put these gospel lenses on, these kingdom lenses, I think one of the things that the Lord does is he makes us more aware of the needs that are all around us. So again, going back to that prayer we mentioned this morning, would you be willing to pray something like, hey Lord, show me where the needs are. Show me where you're calling me to step in, even here in the local church. Serving the church is not just about a single day of the week, but a daily lifestyle. And this gets us to our third and final point. Serving the church is not just for a select group, but is for the entire body. Now, I think Jim Thompson is actually gonna talk about this when he talks about spiritual gifts, so I don't wanna steal too much of his thunder. But maybe one of the best pictures for, hey, how's the body supposed to work, the church body, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul talks about this this church body, in order to have a healthy, well-functioning body, it's much like the human body, where, hey, all of the pieces are necessary and necessary to be working in the way that they're supposed to. They're supposed to all be healthy. We're supposed to have them all to be a fully functioning human body. And the same is true, again, Jim will probably talk about this more, but the same is true when it comes to the church body, where we need each other. We need each member, we need each person, and we need you doing your part, fulfilling your role, stepping into what God has called you to step into so that our church body might be fully functioning and healthy. And again, I will say, this is an incredible place. Fellowship Greenville really is. And we are healthy in so many ways. But I know that there's still some of you who you've been hesitant or you've been wavering or you've been wanting to get plugged in but haven't known how. Let me say, if maybe it's kind of been hard for you even just thinking about, well, what could my role here be? Is there any use for the things I feel gifted in? Or I just don't know if I have time in my schedule for that. Or maybe you've actually discounted yourself and said, I just don't think that I have anything useful to give. Well, let me encourage you to go read through 1 Corinthians 12. And if you really believe the scripture that is there about the human body and the body of the church being very similar, then you've got to believe that we're all needed in this thing. We're all needed and we're all called to jump in and do our part for this thing to be as healthy as it can be. Each one of us is needed, not one over the other. As I was studying this week, or for the past couple weeks, rather, I found this quote from Lloyd John Ogilvie. All right, maybe there's a name for you if you're picking out a baby name. Lloyd John Ogilvie, it's kind of hard not to say Lord John Ogilvie for some reason, but anyway, this quote says that out of the insignificant can come the infinitely important things the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us and is using for a greater strategy. Again, if you've been somebody who's discounted your gift, just think about this passage in Acts 6, where through the meeting of a simple need of food, providing daily food for some folks, God used that in some way, shape, or form to continue advancing the kingdom. What might he want to do with the gift that you bring to the table that you may feel right now is insignificant? I know that the Lord wants to use it. Serving the church is not just for a select group, but it's for the entire body. This gets us back to our question that we started with. In, for, and through the church, what kind of service has Jesus called me to? And looking back at the three groups, maybe you are in here and there's clearly, man, you could list off these places where the Lord has opened doors for you to serve. And I would encourage you, praise God for those things. Don't take those things for granted. It is a beautiful thing to be a part of God's church and be serving in that way. But maybe he's also kind of opened your eyes and helped you see like, hey, but there's more to be done here. Like he's not done with Fellowship Greenville and he's not done with you. So maybe there's some things that stick out to you about where you can jump in further, meet some different needs. But maybe you're here and for the first time, you're really kind of thinking, hey, maybe this is like the push I need. I've kind of been thinking about it and praying about it. And I know that I'm supposed to be a larger part of the church, but I don't know what that looks like. Might I give you three suggestions? And the first one is just to pray. Ask God to open your eyes and open some doors and make a way and bring some clarity around where you're supposed to be. And then step into it. Second suggestion is just to go to our help desks, our guest services, and the fine folks over there who are in the commons area, and they would love to plug you in to specific places where we have need within the church, things that are happening on Sundays and beyond. And then maybe the third and final piece of jumping in that I'm going to list off for today is to get in community. I can't tell you how blessed me and my family have been by being in an intentional community group over the last 9 months or so. We just joined a relatively new group, and it's been such a blessing to us for our kids and for our marriage. And it really has been something that the Lord has used to build us up. But within community, there's you're in close proximity with people who have very real needs, and you get a chance on a regular basis to meet them, even if it's just sending a text before they teach, to wish them some encouragement and tell them you're praying for them. And then maybe there is a group of you in here who, for the first time, maybe, dare I say that God is opening your eyes and showing you how beautiful the church can be when she's working well and serving God like she's called to. And so I hope that if you've seen that, if you were kind of on the edge or on the fence and I don't know about this church thing, I don't know about God, I don't know, you know, did Jesus really die for our sins? Let me tell you, this that we've talked about this morning is just a piece of what God intends for his church to be. And if you would at all like to be a part of that, we invite you and welcome you to continue coming back. Spend some time with us. Find out more what she's about. Find out more what God is about. And maybe feel free to ask questions about what does it really look like to give your life to him and let him change not just this time that we spend together on Sundays, but the rest of your life as well. As we mentioned earlier, Jesus is our ultimate example of what it looks like to live as a servant. And so it's his example that we're going to end with this morning. I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And you can close your eyes. You can read along with me on the screens. And then I'm going to close this in prayer. So let's do that. These are the words of Paul. He says in Philippians 2, verse 1, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. And do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, thank you so much for the example of your Son, of Jesus, who his entire life was one of service. It is his example that we pray that you would help us daily to follow in. Would you help us at Fellowship Greenville be a people who live out the one another's, who are a part of this call to build your church on a day in and day out basis, and that we find joy in it, find the ways you've gifted us in it, but Lord, that we would find just a new depth to our relationship with you in it along the way as well. Help us to be like your Son, to follow well in his footsteps in this way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.